Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we ask the question, why are Republicans not fighting? Terrorists have taken over the streets of Seattle. Our history is being burned. And Republicans are nowhere to be found. Our president is fighting alone. And if you are a conservative listening to this, I hope you get very, very upset and start to question, where on earth are the Republicans? We need as much help as we can get in this cultural moment because it is a crisis right now. Email me your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA. Go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Listen to our sister episode with Ali Stuckey, who is terrific. And for 20 people right now that leave a review, give us a 5-star review, subscribe, screenshot, and email us at freedom@charliekirk.com. 20 random people that do that will get a signed copy of the New York Times bestseller, MAGA Doctrine. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here. Warning. Lockdowns are probably coming again. Round two. I'm leading the show with this because I see it happening in real time. Houston area officials are, quote, getting close to reimposing more stay-at-home orders and are prepared to reopen COVID-19 hospital-established measures. Arizona has ordered its hospitals to activate emergency plans. So let's just a little, just in case you forgot, a week ago, there were 500,000 people in the streets basically next to each other not wearing masks, rioting, protesting, and mourning George Floyd. Now, all of a sudden, they want us to get locked in again after they've started a pseudo-race war in our country over something we weren't divided over, and they want to lock you back down again. I'm telling you right now, this is not going to stand with me. I will do everything I possibly can to make sure that the country does not lock down again. And by the way, the media encouraged the lockdowns. 1,200 health officials encouraged the lockdown, saying that white supremacy is a bigger threat than the virus. I'm telling you, if you're listening to this, you better demand that your Republican officials make the clearest and most definitive stand against lockdowns. Shelter in place. If you're afraid of getting the virus, stay at home. The virus is a real thing. It kills real people. However, if you're young, if you're healthy, if you're willing to encounter the risk, make the best decision you possibly can. What I am advocating for is not locking down society through government fiat. I'm not in a place to give you the specific advice that you might have. But what I do know is lockdowns do not work. What I do know is they're great at creating a powder keg that can lead to riots in the inner city. Riots, which will inevitably lead to more infections. It's a vicious cycle, and the left will continue this all the way to victory if we do not fight back. Republicans, take a stand against the lockdown. The theme of this episode is, where are the Republicans? The president is fighting alone on this. Republicans, where are you? We elected you to have these tough fights. Let's talk about Seattle. Nothing to see here, right? I'm going to read to you from the front page of the Seattle Times. Seattle Times says this. Seattle area protest updates. No police reports filed about use of weapons to extort Capitol Hill businesses. I'm sorry, are these protests or is this a takeover of an American city? The media blackout on this has been one of the most outrageous, immoral pieces of activist journalism I have ever seen. An entire city block of downtown Seattle has been occupied by terrorists. That's right. Terrorists have taken over an entire city block. Do you think that if people wearing Make America Great Again hats took over a city block, do you think the media would let that happen? How did it happen? After days of protesting, the Seattle police totally stood down. They closed down shop and moved out of the city's East Precinct. Law-abiding citizens and business owners are now being held hostage. They've been basically kidnapped by Antifa. If you want protection from the rioting and burning, you're out of luck. Your leaders have failed you. There's so few that are speaking out against it. Tucker Carlson, Tom Cotton. Where are you guys? Our country is burning. Tucker Carlson, by the way, is facing a boycott for speaking the truth. Our show right here, The Charlie Kirk Show, is experiencing record condemnation, record threats, record amounts of attacks. Where is Lindsey Graham? Where's the passion that Lindsey Graham had during Kavanaugh? People like our podcast and Tucker Carlson were experiencing record downloads and viewership because people want the truth. People want courage right now. This year has been a total doozy. Impeachment, coronavirus, race riots. Who knows what's next? What better time to get right to the source? Senator Ted Cruz and Michael Knowles got back together in D.C. this week for the first time in months. Their podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz, topped the podcast charts earlier this year with their inside look into the impeachment hearings, and now they're back at it again. As 2020 gets even crazier, this is your chance to go behind the scenes in Washington to see what's really happening. You can't get much closer to the action than this. Go check out the podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz, and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Again, that's Verdict with Ted Cruz. Check it out and subscribe today. So now, people who the media want you to believe are just protesters have moved in and created what's called a Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. You might see this online. It's called CHAZ, C-H-A-Z. CHAZ is now a country within our country. It has borders. It's not America. They have their own laws, has barriers to entry. If you fall into a certain subset of people, namely police and non-friendly journalists, you'll be denied entry into their country. Plastered on the borders are signs that read, "You are now leaving the United States." Of course, none of this is really true. It's all fantasy utopianism. It's a communist cosplay effort being enabled and even encouraged by the feckless leaders that run the city. And I love President Trump. But President Trump, please, I pray on my knees, send in the 101st Airborne, break this up, enough of the child's play. Defend our country from within, from the terrorists. I want to play some tape. You know what Governor Jay Inslee, the climate change activist, you know what he said when he was asked about it? He didn't know it was happening. Play tape.
Governor, I'd like to ask you about what's going on in Seattle. There's this thing called the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. What's your thought on that? The fact that the protesters have taken that over and not allowing people to come and go freely? And regarding the National Guard.
Well, that's news to me, so I'll have to reserve any comment about it. I have not heard anything about that from any credible source. Not that you're not credible. It's just like before I espouse an opinion, I should know of which I speak.
Either he's a pathological liar or he's high on weed, as sky high as you can imagine. So that's what Jay Inslee said. He said he didn't know. Now, just breaking, President Trump said, quote, "If there were more toughness, you wouldn't have the kind of devastation that you have in Minneapolis and in Seattle." I mean, let's see what's going on in Seattle. I'll tell you, if they don't straighten this out really quick, we're going to straighten it out. Mr. President, bring in the troops right now. The head of the state, Jay Inslee, who's entrusted with the state, the safety of the constituents, was not even aware. So what are the list of demands by the terrorists, by the Antifa terrorists? The abolition of the police, not defund, abolishing. Immediate retrials of all non-white felons currently in prison. The abolition of youth prisons. Free college. The abolition of all prisons. Felon voting rights. A ban on any disruption of homeless encampments in the city. A ban on all evictions. Immediate amnesty of rioters, looters, and arsonists. Segregated hospitals. Yep, that's right. They want all black nurses to only treat black people. I thought we fought hard to end segregation. I thought this entire organized nationwide effort was to bring progressive change. But progressions to them looks more to me like regression. And it's worked out as well as you could expect it to. The homeless have been allowed in the camp and have stolen large amounts of food. So how's that Paris Commune equivalent working in Seattle for you? Looks like people are still stealing when there's no police. Looks like people still do bad stuff when there's no police. Looks like people still argue when there's no police. It's like almost like human beings are flawed by nature. It's not the system around them, you Rousseauian, illiterate, maniacal psychopaths. This led on one of the anarchists to tweet out a plea for more food donations, but only if they're vegan, soy, and gluten-free. History tells us when the left convenes these sorts of tent autonomous cities, their utopias quickly turn into bedlam. Take 2011, Occupy Wall Street, for example. They tried to do this in Zuccotti Park. Here's actually a fun trivia point. I visited Zuccotti Park when I was a junior in high school, and I walked around there and I talked to people, I learned more about the American left spending 5 hours as a high schooler in New York City. My dad went out to some meeting and I walked around Zuccotti Park as a conservative, talking to the left, sitting down with the left. They didn't know me. And I wasn't anyone to know back then. Just a high schooler from the suburbs of Chicago. And I looked into their eyes and I saw rage, saw hatred. How many of our Senate Republicans have actually understood the left, have actually seen what drives these people? Probably very few. If not, they're on their team. In fact, in Dallas, a convicted sexual predator was let into an Occupy commune and reportedly raped an underage runaway. And now, as expected, history has repeated itself. It's being reported that a warlord has emerged in the Chaz. Quote, Raz Simone, a local rapper with an AK-47 slung from his shoulder and a pistol attached to his hip, screamed, "This is war!" into a white and red megaphone and instructed armed paramilitaries to guard the barricades in shifts. Simone was later filmed allegedly assaulting multiple protesters who disobeyed his orders. This is all according to Town Hall. By the way, the media is not recording any of this. If you go to NewYorkTimes.com, if you go to the Washington Post, it is a media blackout at how the left has taken over the streets of Seattle. And they just call it, it's just a protest. It's nothing more than a protest. It's nothing to worry about. It's just people blowing off steam, you know, just the whole occupying of an entire downtown city. In fact, I'm at NewYorkTimes.com right now. I don't see an entire thing on Seattle. Instead, I see this. We need to give more hugs because of coronavirus, I see on NewYorkTimes.com. Jimmy Fallon is sorry, but what does that mean on NewYorkTimes.com? Coronavirus could make America's gun problem even deadlier, NewYorkTimes.com tells us. NewYorkTimes.com tells us, according to Paul Krugman, reactionaries are having a bad month. Nothing on the paper of record, but that entire American city is taken over by terrorists. Spencer Bocott Lindell says, how worried should you be about the 2020 election? Michael Tomosky at NewYorkTimes.com says, why does Trump lie? Nothing on the takeover of an entire American city. If you think like you're losing your country, you are. You are. If you're afraid that you're losing everything that that has been given to you, you are. WashingtonPost.com, not one thing about Seattle being taken over by arsonists. They have battle over Confederate statue resumes in America's enduring Civil War. NASCAR's Confederate flag ban is long overdue, is what the Washington Post says. Company stands to profit on flip of taxpayer-funded coronavirus drug. Nothing. Not one thing about the hostile takeover of an American city. It's a media desert. Doesn't exist. So Simone, the terrorist, claims that he's the police now. I want you to imagine, do you think the New York Times and Washington Post would cover this again if they were wearing all MAGA hats? It's so dishonest. If you guys ever trust the media again, please don't. They are part of the simulation. They're part of such malevolent and awful forces in our world. It's just so sick. Where are our leaders? Republicans, what are you doing? Republicans, where are you? Are you okay with this? Are you okay with the entire hostile takeover of a city block? Do you think Obama would stand for this if he was in office, or Hillary if she was elected? This is similar to the Whiskey Rebellion. Insurrection Act, take care of it. I want you to reflect back in time to the Bundy standoff. For 20 years, Nevada rancher Cliven Bundy defied the federal government by letting his cattle graze on federal lands without paying the proper fees. So in spring of 2014, the government sent armed agents to confiscate the cattle. But hundreds of protesters, some of whom were armed, assembled in support of Bundy. This led Harry Reid to call the ranchers domestic terrorists. Some of the news articles on the New York Times were domestic terrorists tried to burn down the country. Same way that they tried to message Waco or Ruby Ridge. The Obama administration sent in armed officials and officers, private contractors, to end the standoff. The situation eventually ended and thankfully defused without any fatalities. But Bundy and 18 others were arrested and charged with felonies. Those on the right are treated by Democrats in office with tanks and guns and overwhelming force. So why do we stand for anarchy in our streets? And yet Republicans have done next to nothing. The left wants to create a new America. literally is what they're doing in Seattle. And they're doing that by destroying our history. With currently no NBA, NHL, or Major League Baseball, you might think there's nothing to bet on. Well, you'd be totally wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on, from their online casino to poker and blackjack, as they are bringing the Vegas to you. If you're into entertainment betting, you can still bet on stock prices, the weather, and even the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And NASCAR is back, all open 24 hours a day and all online. Visit the website or use your mobile device and join today to receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. Looks like we're finally going to get some basketball back in August. So visit our good friends and exclusive partner, Podcast One, BetOnline, to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So there's a ton of news on statues and monuments. And really, this is just another example of cancel culture. Statues are coming down across the country. There's even a conflict growing in Washington, D.C. as Democrats push to remove Confederate statues still in the Capitol, as well as to rename military bases named after Confederate soldiers. But let's start here. American Taliban was trending on Twitter. I saw this. I said, why would American Taliban be trending on Twitter? What is this all about? This is in reference to the Taliban's penchant for destroying ancient statues in the Middle East. Most famously, the Buddha statues. They were two enormous 6th century monumental statues of Buddha carved into the side of a cliff. They were unbelievably beautiful. They tore them down. Senator Ted Cruz made this comparison on Twitter, sharing a video of a statue of Christopher Columbus being taken down in St. Paul, Minnesota. Cruz wrote, American Taliban. Ilhan Omar, the ingrate, who hates her country, is not thankful for being in America, and ingrate means someone who does not have gratitude for being in America, she replied, quote, this was organized and led by indigenous people. Columbus literally started a genocide against them. What a sick thing to say about those taking down monuments to their own oppression. Senator Ted Cruz replied, no, he didn't commit genocide, literally or otherwise. He did discover the New World, which led to colonizers, some of whom inadvertently brought disease, the senator continued. Is your position that it's inherently immoral to come to America from a foreign land? I'm glad my dad came from Cuba. This is a brilliant slight by Senator Ted Cruz. In fact, I like spicy social media, Senator Ted Cruz. I think that Ted Cruz needs to do more of this because basically he's implying by what he said, is it your position that it's inherently immoral to come to America from a foreign land? It's a phenomenal linguistic attack against Ilhan Omar, that actually saying it. It's phenomenal. Kudos to Senator Ted Cruz. So here's how I analyze this. We are now taking history lessons from the most ungrateful member of Congress and a refugee from a failed state in Africa where they have total anarchy. Sound like something that's happening here? Christopher Columbus has long been demonized because he represents the imperialist raping and pillaging of white Europeans. These statues were largely placed across America by Italian Americans who used to struggle against bias against Italians. These were built as symbols of pride for famous Italians and his place in the American experience. Let's play tape of, who's this? Cuomo defending the statues? Play tape.
Christopher Columbus, I understand the dialogue has been going on for a number of years. The Christopher Columbus statue represents, in some ways, the Italian-American legacy in this country and the Italian-American contribution in this country. I understand the feelings about Christopher Columbus some of his acts, which nobody would support. But the statue has come to represent and signify appreciation for the Italian-American contribution to New York. So for that reason, I support it.
Now, instead of wanting to be more included in the American story, our newest members of the American community, like Ilhan Omar, want to burn it down and destroy how our nation came to be. This is the left. If you understand the left, you know the history of the Cultural Revolution. The Cultural Revolution was pushed forward in China by the Chinese Communist Party by purging remnants of capitalist and traditional elements from Chinese society to basically reimpose Mao Zedong thought, known outside of China as Maoism, which was the dominant philosophy in the Chinese Communist Party. Now, the more I read about the Cultural Revolution, the more I read about how the CCP went on an aggressive campaign throughout China to destroy history, the more I regret not speaking out against our international globalist trade policies with China. We never should have made them richer. We never should have even thought for a second that the more capital flows we had into China, the more they would, quote, westernize. And so this is nothing new from the left. They love to destroy history. Lenin did this. Stalin did this. They will destroy the history once they take power. And by the way, if public property is being destroyed and defaced, it should not ever be tolerated. If you want to remove a statue, you go through the correct and proper channels. You don't do it publicly and then you act as if you're a hero. There is an individual in Portsmouth, Virginia, who is in a coma right now. He's comatose because Black Lives Matter vandals pulled down a statue and split it open on his head. The video is awful, by the way. The reason it's hard to remove statues is because there are a lot of supporters of these statues. What about their rights? Even statues and monuments celebrating individuals whose accomplishments should stand the test of time, people you think the far left would herald for their work as maybe abolitionists or fighting fascism, are still getting defaced. That's right. The left is defacing abolitionist statues, people they should be heralding as heroes. Is the left saying that the abolition of slavery was a bad thing? I don't think so, but it begs the question. A total American hero, Senator Tom Cotton, who we're having back on the Charlie Kirk Show next week, went off on these vandals, defacing our historical moments. Listen to the senator take these vandals basically to history class from the floor of the Senate. Play tape.
But it's not just in Seattle. Look at what's happening to statues and monuments all around our country. In several cities, statues to Christopher Columbus have been pulled down, or they've been defaced or destroyed. Statues that, in most cases, were put up by Italian-American immigrants who were proud of their part in the great American story. This was not done in accordance with law. It was not done after thoughtful debate in city councils or state legislatures. It was done by mobs. Just last week, the Lincoln Memorial, a temple to the great emancipator, was defaced. The World War II Memorial, a memorial to those who fought and liberated the world from fascism, was defaced. Now, across the Atlantic, the ideological kin of this Jacobin mob defaced statues of Churchill. Wait until they hear about what the other guy did on the other side. But you know, history is not the long suit of these woke children. They didn't take history classes, apparently, in high school and college. They were too busy taking social justice seminars. You can see that, too, in Philadelphia. The statue of Matthias Baldwin was defaced. Matthias Baldwin was a committed and devoted abolitionist who funded education for freed African Americans, who gave them jobs, and they defaced his statue. Even more amazing, in Boston, the Shaw Memorial was defaced. The Shaw Memorial honors the 54th Massachusetts Regiment, the first African-American regiment formed after the Emancipation Proclamation, whose bravery and valor in battle on behalf of the Union cause was memorialized in the movie Glory. Yet it was defaced by these mobs.
I wish there were more courageous leaders like Senator Tom Cotton. Senator Tom Cotton is one of the only U.S. senators that when I speak to him, he responds quickly, he communicates clearly, and he acknowledges the same sense of unease that I have that the direction of America is currently going on. Many senators I communicate with dodge my communication. They are more interested in establishment politics. They're more interested in keeping the Chamber of Commerce happy or the Chinese Communist Party to not call them out. Senator Tom Cotton is a true American hero. I don't actually agree with Senator Tom Cotton on every single issue. In fact, on international intervention, Senator Tom Cotton and I do not see eye to eye. He wanted military retaliation against Iran back in January. But despite some specific policy differences that Senator Tom Cotton and I might have, I will take a Senator Tom Cotton in an instant over someone I agree with 100% who remains silent and then does not stand up against the mob. We need people like Senator Tom Cotton, who you might not agree with on every single issue, but boy, do I agree with him on everything he's been doing recently, to be able to be clear, pro-America and pro-Western. These times require true leadership by people who love America. They're patriots. Instead, now we have a separate statue crisis brewing in Washington, D.C. This is from the Washington Examiner. Quote, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced Thursday night that she requested the Joint Committee on the Library to remove a dozen figures of Confederate statues that are located in several areas of the Capitol. The committee is made up of 5 Republicans and 5 Democrats and is currently chaired by Republican Senator Roy Blunt of Missouri. Blunt said in a statement Thursday night that the law did not permit the committee to remove the statues. Only the states that commissioned them have the authority to take them out of the building. Now, let me just stay here. Of course, Pelosi disagrees. She says, monuments to men who advocate cruelty and barbarism, blah, blah, blah. I'll get into her statement. But this is what's wrong with establishment politics. Did you listen carefully to what Senator Roy Blunt said? Senator Roy Blunt went immediately to procedure, immediately to parliamentarianism. He didn't say that it was the wrong thing to take down the statues. He didn't say that it was immoral to take down our history. Instead, he's like, oh, don't blame me. It's the states. You can't really do that. This is the problem with Republican establishment thinking. This is the issue with the traditional Republican orthodoxy. Now, I agree with Roy Blunt on a lot of things, but I'm going to call it out as I see it. So Pelosi, again, disagreed. She writes this pablum. It was probably written by some 26-year-old social justice warrior activist that just went to some elite institution that has all the latest buzzwords that have been approved by the highly educated, I should say overeducated ingrates that run American colleges, monuments to men who advocated cruelty and barbarism to achieve such a plainly racist end or a grotesque affront to these ideals. And look, Nancy Pelosi is trying to try to make it seem as if an entire part of American history does not exist. Senator Mitch McConnell said on Thursday that the decision whether or not to remove Confederate statues from the United States Capitol should be left up to the states. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy has echoed this perspective, saying the state should decide. Can we just take some stands on something, please? Can we just say, no, actually, the statue should stay up? Not that, well, leave it in the people's hands. I mean, I have a lot of respect for Kevin McCarthy. I consider him a friend of Mitch McConnell. But guys, come on. Please stand up to the mob, for goodness gracious sake. Do what President Trump said and said, we're not even having a conversation on this. You know why they're pushing, guys. They're trying to push you. They're trying to provoke you. And the quicker you stand up to them, the quicker that you pick the cultural fight, the less likely they are going to get their actual desired objective. You have to build the cultural war now. You have to draw a line in the sand. And yes, it's also the right thing to do. You give them an inch, they're going to go a mile. You think they're going to stop with the statues? The next is the flag. The next is July 4th. And I've praised Governor Ron DeSantis many times on this podcast. He's another dear friend of mine. I think very highly of Ron. I think he handled the lockdowns and the Chinese coronavirus better than almost any other governor, except maybe Governor Kristi Noem. I supported Governor Ron DeSantis in the primary against Putnam. I supported him early. I encouraged donors to donate to him, and it came at a great amount of backlash and political pressure under myself. But Florida Republican Ron DeSantis requested the architect of the U.S. Capitol replace a statue of Confederate General Edmund Kirby Smith, and we relent to the left. I don't agree with Ron DeSantis on this as respectfully as I possibly can. The truth is this. If the House moves to pass these bills, they'll possibly and probably pass with Republican support, because the way the flow goes, the way the narrative goes, is the left has an agenda. They have an agenda in their drawer, and they're going to push the Republicans until we agree with it. Now, the reason why things have been different in the Trump era, the reasons why we have so many wins, embassy in Jerusalem, Iran deal gone, we're building the wall, we had the best economy in American history, we're going to get it back, all these amazing wins, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, 300 circuit court judges, is because Trump made the left play defense. So why is the House, why are our Republican politicians saying, no, let's right now demand the renaming of the bitter racist Lyndon Baines Johnson Memorial Library? Right here, right now, we are not going to celebrate or tolerate Lyndon Baines Johnson. We are not going to tolerate or celebrate Planned Parenthood, which was founded by a eugenicist. All references to Margaret Sanger must be removed. All of a sudden, this entire conversation would conveniently disappear. Why don't we rename the Bill and Hillary Clinton Airport in Arkansas, of which Bill Clinton is now under even more serious allegations of his dealings with Jeffrey Epstein? We accept their premise and we surrender. Are you sick of surrendering? I am. And by the way, this is not even my most passionate issue, okay? I mean, if you ranked what gets Charlie Kirk fired up, Confederate statues is probably like 126, okay? And there's probably sports is ahead of that. However, I fight hard on this not because it's high on the hierarchy of my issues. I fight hard on it because I know exactly why the left is doing this. And it's also wrong. It's infuriating because we always cave. And when you surrender, it is like any sort of bullying, exploitation, dictator scheme. When they know they can push you to some extent, they're going to keep on pushing you to that extent. If they know they can set the rules of engagement, they are going to do this for churches. They are going to do this to synagogues. They are going to do this for the flag. They are going to cancel July 4th. They are going to cancel the beautiful history of Abraham Lincoln because they have contempt for the entire and the totality of the history of America. The only history they like of America is the brutal and awful parts of the history of America that confirm liberal welfare state or massive government programs or funding of some sort of ridiculous Planned Parenthood scheme. McCarthy, who I consider a huge friend, but he previously joined Republicans and Democrats in 2016 for the House vote to ban the display of Confederate monuments at a Veterans Administration facility and cemetery. Also in 2016, the Republican-led House removed a state flag display at a Capitol hallway because the Mississippi flag includes a Confederate symbol. So again, if you give an inch to the left, they will always take a mile. But there's even more. U.S. military bases, cancel culture, and gone with the wind. All of these recent protests, and yes, riots and looting, not just peaceful protesting, are always worth reminding you. They have ignited the waves to rename the U.S. Army bases honoring military figures of the Civil War South. Now, we're going to get into the actual truth around the American Civil War. And was it really as the left depicts it? Because it's a lot more complicated about it. And yes, slavery was a issue of the Civil War, but it was not the only issue, and some historians argue it was not even the predominant issue. Take a second to think about the private information you have on your computer and mobile devices, your pictures, videos, financial information, work files, personal documents, information that cyber criminals are constantly trying to get their hands on. What are you doing to keep that from happening? You need protection, and PCmatic is doing it right. Instead of only blocking programs on a blacklist of known cyber threats like traditional antivirus software, PCmatic protects your internet connected devices by blocking any application that isn't on its white list of known trusted programs. And they're the only antivirus company that does its development, research, and customer support 100% in the United States. Made in America for Americans. When it comes to cyber attacks, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. So what are you waiting for? PCmatic protects Macs, Windows computers and servers, and Android phones and tablets. Get a free month of protection with the purchase of an annual license at PCmatic.com/Charlie. Again, that's PCmatic.com/Charlie. Keep the bad guys out and your personal information secure with PCmatic. So here are the 10 bases that are in question. All of them are located in southern states that were once part of the Confederacy. Camp Beauregard in Louisiana. Fort Benning in Georgia. Fort App Hill in Virginia. Fort Hood in Texas, Fort Lee, named after Robert E. Lee, of course, in Virginia, Fort Pickett in Virginia, Fort Polk in Louisiana, Fort Rucker in Alabama, Fort Bragg in North Carolina, and Fort Gordon in Georgia. Now, President Trump rightly said he will not even consider renaming the bases. This is what the entire Republican Party position should be. Now, again, I am not the biggest advocate in the world around defending the Confederacy. This is not about the Confederacy. It's not about the Civil War. It's not about anything more than the left trying to destroy the history of America. Now, mind you, a lot of these camps or a lot of these forts in the southern part of the country are revered by people that have been trained there for so long. This is the intentional poking in the eye of southern America. This is part of a war on the South. Now, I have so much respect for the United States military. And did you know that almost 44% of all the military comes from six southern states? This is according to the United States Military Department of Defense information. So when the ruling class wants to go fight their trigger-happy wars overseas, when they want to go invade a country that is halfway around the world, it's not disproportionately people from Malibu or Manhattan stepping up. It is the Southerners that the left has contempt for. So it's the Southerners that go fight the wars of the ruling class. So go fight our wars. Go protect the country. Thanks for keeping us safe. We're also going to go tear down all your monuments, and we're going to rename all your bases. This is a war on the American South. And mind you, I say this as someone from the suburbs of Chicago. And I've said this once, and I'll say it again. From a young age, I was taught explicitly and implicitly that Southerners are dumb. When I say this to someone who grew up in the South, they don't believe me. When I said this to Graham Allen, I said, I was taught to think you are stupid because of the way you talk. In fact, if you are above the Mason-Dixon line or north of the Mason-Dixon line, when you want to say something as if it's a pejorative or it is less than intelligent, a lot of the jokes that are made in suburban America that are, by the way, are considered still politically correct are if you say it in a southern accent with a southern drawl, if you will. It's people say, well, don't speak improperly if you speak with that southern accent. This is part of a war on the South. Now, is that systemic cultural stereotyping? I don't want to say it's systemic racism, but is that systemic cultural stereotyping? Maybe. Now, who is leading the charge on this right now? It is Pocahontas, the fake Native American, Elizabeth Warren, who always rails on us about white privilege, even though she lied about her Native American heritage to get ahead. So Senator Elizabeth Warren proposed within the National Defense Authorization Act to rename posts and assets, streets, aircraft, ships, and other equipment, either named for Confederate officers that honor the Confederacy within 3 years. Not only this, she also tucked away in her amendment a call to literally destroy any Confederate grave and monument inside the Arlington National Cemetery, all federal military and graveyards. Desecration of graves is now a Democrat Party platform. President Trump responded on Twitter. He said this: seriously failed presidential candidate Senator Elizabeth Warren just introduced an amendment on renaming many of our legendary military bases from which we trained to win two world wars. Hopefully our great Republican senators won't fall for this. Despite Trump's opposition, a Republican-led Senate committee approved an amendment so the Pentagon will work to rename the bases within 3 years. So look, you know where they're really going with this? They want to take down the Washington Monument. They want to take down the Lincoln Memorial. They want to take down any monument or memorial named after someone who committed a sin. So they want to take down every single monument memorial. History is something to learn from, to appreciate, to understand, to reflect on. By the way, you know what monument they're not taking down? You know what monument they're not going after? The statue of Vladimir Lenin in downtown Seattle. That's right. Did you know that in the United States of America, there is a statue of Vladimir Lenin, the Marxist revolutionary murderous maniac who started the Russian Revolution? If you don't believe me, look it up yourself. Now, all of this is setting up a potential clash between Donald Trump and the Senate if it passes this bill. Now, Trump has pledged to veto the bill, even if it comes with support from Republicans. Now, Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri, God bless him, voted against the amendment. So did Senator Tom Cotton. God bless him. But Senator Mike Rounds from South Dakota said while he agreed that U.S. history should not be forgotten, he said the bases shouldn't be named for those who fought against our country. Shame on you, Senator Mike Rounds. You placate to the left. These establishment Republicans that kowtow to China, that kowtow to the open border lobby. Who do you represent? He said, I so think this is a step in the right direction. This was the right time for it. I think it sends the right message. He doesn't get the game that he's playing in. He is getting played like a pawn. He's a pawn of the globalist left that wants to destroy our country from within. My goodness. So I think this is a step in the right direction, Mike Round said. What? Just to burn down our entire country's history? Oh, I think history's important. You know, I love that the Southerners go fight all the wars for us, but, you know, let's go rename all their bases. This is the right time for it? While Black Lives Matter is burning down our entire country, when will these senators realize that we're in a culture war right now? Put on the jersey, okay? Go put on the jersey and fight for our country. Again, if I had to rank the most important issues, it's like 125 on it, Confederate statues. I'm not a pro-Confederate historian. I'm not in any one of those ways. I'm not someone who, again, I'm open-minded to American history. I've read very provocative pieces of literature that said that, you know, it wasn't about slavery and all this. And I think that there's some validity to that. But I am so fervently against this because I understand the schemes of the left. This is Bolshevik-type tactics. Kayleigh McEnany defiantly stated that these bases are known by the heroes that inhabit them. Play tape.
He goes on to say, we do not live in a country to which Braxton Bragg, Henry L. Banger, Robert E. Lee can serve as an inspiration. What does the White House say to that particular point?
Fort Bragg is known for the heroes within it that trained there, that deployed from there. And it's an insult to say to the men and women who left there, the last thing they saw on American soil before going overseas, and in some cases losing their lives, to tell them that what they left was inherently a racist institution because of a name. That's unacceptable to the president, and rightfully so. And I would also note, where do you draw the line here? I'm told that no longer can you find on HBO Gone with the Wind, because somehow that is now offensive. Where do you draw the line? Is it, should George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison be erased from history? What about FDR and because of internment camps? You know, should he be erased from history? Or Lyndon Johnson, who has a history of documented racist statements? And finally, what about people that are alleged by the media to be segregationists? NBC tells us Joe Biden didn't just compromise with segregationists. He fought for their causes in schools, experts say. CNN tells us letters from Joe Biden reveal how he sought support of segregationists in the fight against busing. Washington Post tells us that Biden's tough talk on 1970s schools desegregation plans could get him new scrutiny. And there are several more that where that came from. So I'll leave you with the question. Should we then rename the Biden Welcome Center? Thanks very much, guys.
And by the way, I want to make something very clear. My bloodline fought for the Union. My bloodline fought for the North. So here I am, multi-generations later, of my great-great-great-grandparents who fought in the Civil War. Now I am the one advocating that the enemies of my ancestors are allowed to still have their monuments up. My bloodline fought in the Civil War. I don't play on the left's terrain. I understand the left far too well. I know the multidimensional thinking that they're on here. I don't accept their premise. HBO Max is removing Gone with the Wind. Is that where we draw the line? Where's the line? For you Senate Republicans out there, for you weak-kneed establishment Republicans that love your crony donors, that love your retreats in the mountains in the summer to be able to talk about how you have deindustrialized our entire country, who don't take a stand on anything, but you told us to go give you power. You told us to give you power. You said, go vote for us in numbers. Please give us power. We'll fight when it matters. This is a fight that now matters, where kids are getting kicked out of school, where kids are losing their jobs because they support the president, because they support the Bible, and you are nowhere to be seen. Instead, you guys are giving these ridiculous talking points that probably could have been written by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. What is different than what you are effectively saying than Ilhan Omar? Nothing. You might as well go join the other party. I would rather fight with 40 good senators than 54 bad ones. I'm so sick and tired of having to defend these people. I'm sick and tired of having to defend the people on the Republican side that placate, that overly pander to people that bitterly hate our country. And now, I guess what? I'm an authority figure on this because I'm not even that passionate about the issue. But I am passionate about seeing a deconstruction of everything that our country stands for. And I know why they are doing this. This is a turnkey issue. This is something that the left knows, that if they are able to take down the history of Texas, take down the history of Alabama, Mississippi, and Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, South Carolina, they are able to take down everything. Oh, why not take down the Jefferson Memorial? Because he owned slaves. Why not take down the Washington Monument? Because he owned slaves. Why not shred the U.S. Constitution? This is a gateway drug to the fundamental redefinition and destruction of America from within. Kaylee also referenced Joe Biden's work with segregationists in the Senate decades ago. Should we then rename the Biden Welcome Center? Is this the new line? I mean, I might support that. But by the way, after he wins, they're probably going to run him out of the White House. Once they get power, they will remove him or puppeteer him. They're going to use him as a Trojan horse. If you whitewash your history, you can never learn from your mistakes. Ever. How is it fair to our ancestors to use rules and laws that are passed today that didn't exist back then? I'm old enough to remember when Barack Obama supported traditional marriage. Should we get rid of his library? And now, with Gone with the Wind being canceled, it makes you wonder, what other movies are on the chopping block? They're going to probably get rid of To Kill a Mockingbird. They're probably going to get rid of they already got rid of Tom Sawyer, right? They got rid of all the great books of Huckleberry Finn. They've already canceled the Bible because there's slavery in the Bible, despite the Bible denouncing slavery and having liberation from sin. Did you know that adjusted for inflation, Gone with the Wind is the highest ever grossing movie of all time? It also starred the first ever black woman to win an Oscar, Hattie McDaniel. But they'll never mention that. It doesn't matter to HBO Max. But all that matters to them is kowtowing and placating to the radical left. This move comes less than 2 days after filmmaker John Ridley argued in a Los Angeles opinion piece that the 1939 film not only ignored the horrors of slavery, but also perpetuated some of the most painful stereotypes of people of color. Again, it was made in 1939. What kind of other retrospective historical cleansing are you guys going to do? And the answer to that question is quite a lot. A lot. They will go and delete every piece of history that you might enjoy. Everything. This is nothing new. They did this in the French Revolution. Did you know that after the French Revolution, they took power, they tried to start over at year zero, they got rid of the agrarian-based calendar, they went to a 10-day, a week calendar. The Bolsheviks burned their entire history. The Russian Revolution was about cleaning everything before that. This is what the Cultural Revolution was. The 2011 civil rights film, The Help, is now considered controversial. It has surged in Netflix in recent weeks since George Floyd's death, becoming the most watched film on the streaming platform. Still, critics say the story focused on the perspective of a white character as opposed to black co-stars. It also was directed by a white man, which apparently is a crime now. It's being criticized as it furthers the racist tropes of a white savior. 2011. The legend of Bagger Vance, made in year 2000, has been slammed for repeating awful narratives around black people. They're probably going to cancel Blazing Saddles. What about Tropic Thunder? Here's an interesting one. Do you think they're going to cancel Django Unchained? Django was a slave. I don't know. We'll see what's next. They also canceled Live PD, which was honestly the definition of police transparency. Cops has also been canceled after running for 32 years. As an aside, the loss of these two shows will probably mean the loss of major recruitment tools for police officers, which they want. Of course they do. This is the left's new version of book burning. It's even worse, actually, than book burning. It's even worse. They are going and deleting all pieces of intellectual material that do not harmonize with their sinister, backwards worldview. Censorship, plain and simple, no matter how they dress it up, is being anti-racist or coming to grips with systemic racism of white privilege they weren't aware of. This is a brazen attempt to destabilize the country from within. They want to divide and conquer on postmodern terms. For power, they pit people against each other. Go back in the archives of The Charlie Kirk Show and listen to the KGB episode. It will send chills down your spine. Now, mind you, Marx made victimhood the origin and the engine of the proletarian revolution. Marx said the history and all hitherto existing society is the history of class struggles, end quote. But for Marx, as we've often said on the show, he was inspired by the French Revolution philosopher Rousseau. Marx stole his best stuff from Rousseau, who stole his best stuff from Plato, who worked to overturn anything that affirmed the work of civilizing institutions. He knew that the French Revolution needed to destroy what had come before to make way for the revolution. Rousseau was all about grievances. It was mobilizing people that had resentments and grievances. On Social Contract, Rousseau wrote this: "Man is born free, but everywhere else is in chains. John Locke fundamentally disagreed with this. This was the Lockean versus Rousseauian divergence, French Revolution, Rousseau, American Revolution, John Locke. It's emblematic of a view of human nature that conceives of human beings as naturally good and benevolent. We are now having a fundamental discussion on original sin and whether it exists. So if you're sitting around scratching what on earth is driving these people, it's this. They are useful idiots. So look, I want to leave you with some hope. For those of you that have faith in Jesus Christ like I do, I'm going to read you a caption from the letter sent to the President Trump by Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. Now, before I do, I want to say if I didn't believe in God, I would not be able to make sense of what's happening right now. I can't imagine not believing in a higher power when I see all this. The president recently shared this message publicly, and I'm glad he did. Here's what it said towards the end of the note. I believe that the attack to which you were subjected is part of the orchestrated media narrative, which seeks not to fight racism and bring social order, but to aggravate dispositions, not to bring justice, but to legitimize violence and crime, not to serve the truth, but to favor one political faction. The American people are mature and have now understood how much the mainstream media does not want to spread truth, but seeks to silence and distort it, spreading the lie that is useful for the purposes of their masters. However, it is important that the good, who are the majority, wake up from their sluggishness and do not accept being deceived by a minority of dishonest people with unavowable purposes. It is necessary that the good, the children of light, come together and make their voices heard. What more effective way is there to do this, Mr. President, than by prayer, asking the Lord to protect you, the United States, and all of humanity from this enormous attack on the enemy? Before the power of prayer, the deceptions of the children of darkness will collapse. Their plots will be revealed. Their betrayal will be shown. Their frightening power will end in nothing, brought to light and exposed for what it is, an infernal deception. That is the Holy Spirit at work when I hear those words. God bless the Archbishop for saying this. And wake up, America. Republicans, find a spine. Fight for our country. Those of us in the culture war right now, not in the halls of Congress, I'm telling you right now, it is the worst we have ever experienced. We are sending a distress call. It is our Dunkirk moment out here. We are losing our country. And you guys are out there debating whether or not we should rename statues. We do not have an opposition party. We have an opposition president. And I'm afraid that if we do not stop this right now, we are going to be the perpetual minority. But you guys might get your signed contracts. Your kids will still go in the schools you want them to go into, and you won't lose your board positions when you stop being senators or congresspeople. But I'm telling you right now, we need all the support we're going to get, or we will no longer have a country. Please check out Turning Point USA, everybody. Go to tpusa.com. We're actually fighting. We're actually doing something about it. I know a lot of you are probably saying, what can I do? Go to tpusa.com right now. We actually fight, unlike most of the establishment individuals in the political infrastructure. TPUSA.com, TPUSA.com. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, freedom@charliekirk.com. Type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe, give us those 5-star reviews. God bless you. Stand for truth and demand more out of our leaders. This is a crisis that we have to win. God bless.